Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo.
Wow.
Yo, yo.
What's up?
Big Red, Mika, Lady T.
Mika,
oh,
Mika.
My gosh.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Brother B is surrounded by such.
You got the all-stars in the house.
Oh, sucks.
And I'm still sober, so behave.
Oh, Lord. I'll get you to a meeting. Definitely. Yo, what up, everybody? It is. Be quiet. What up, everybody? Another episode of the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother B, got Lady T, and we got Mika in the house. What's up?
Yeah.
What's up,
Mika?
What's up, everyone?
What up?
What's up, Lady T? What's up, guys?
Hey, hey, everyone.
What's going on, y'all?
You know, guest calling number 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. Catch us on IG or Facebook. The menu, mind your mental, MindURMental. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I've been burning the candle at both ends, so I'm glad all you ladies are on tonight because if I get quiet, it don't mean I fell asleep. It mean I just got quiet. Just wanted to let you know.
Lord have mercy.
You don't fall asleep on your own show. Come on, Brother B. You could do better than
listen,
that.
Listen, man, I'm on my grind, man. Past couple of months, I've been grinding it out. So, you know, my daughter has decided to go to the University of Miami.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to be picking up another job. I think I'm just going to just maybe drop like a good 60 pounds and do like my OnlyFans page. And as
you
Mika
know
would
what?
Say, get my chocolate city on because I'm going to need that tuition money.
You clearly
want to see my damn chocolate city.
You clearly did not see my meme earlier.
No, I didn't, but I'm sure I will, you know, before midnight strikes, I'm sure I will.
What?
As a matter of fact,
the Chippendales.
See, oh, girl, Bob, please, one, they moved to Cali, and two, they ain't cute.
You said they ain't cute.
Thank you.
Well, you know what, maybe I should look up becoming a masseuse. Like I seen a couple of brothers doing that, like whole massage thing. So maybe I should.
Listen, they look like they ready to hit something up after the massage. The way they be massaging their face. Listen to me.
Well, you can become a professional cuddler.
I'm like,
No happy endings.
They look like they're giving happy endings. They just not telling you because that's no way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this guy that I follow on IG, and he be putting up posts saying, like, he does that, and the posts that he be put up, like, listen, I don't know if it's IG or I'm watching a porn, but,
thank you,
you know, and then he be like,
okay.
I think he put up a post one day talking about, don't be mad because your girl come to me and this. I said, oh, shit.
But I got to get that tuition money together. You know what I'm saying?
You like, sure so enough,
dude. I got to get the tuition money together. So I damn sure don't want her on the pole, so I guess I'm going to have to do it for her.
I'm glad you already understand.
All right.
I'm so glad you know.
Because I'm about to make the sacrifice.
You know what? I'm going to send it to you. Why?
At least it's going to a good cause. So I think you should
do
it.
Yeah, the father's sacrifice. So the parent's sacrifice never stops. I don't know. But yeah, man. What up, everybody? Once again, then you on Blog Talk Radio. What up, Hot Rod? Guest calling number 347-344-3395. Got Big Red, Mika, Lady T, Brother B in the house. So the topic we have tonight is do we have Miss Cherry on too? Is this Miss Cherry?
How you guys doing?
The whole
I told you guys the all-stars.
Miss Cherry, Miss Cherry here. I might as well go take a nap. Miss Cherry on. I might as well go take me a nap somewhere. Go sit right in the corner.
Oh, man.
We got the all-stars. Yes.
Well, good.
The menu, the menu all-stars.
Yeah, well, good thing we ain't talking. Of course. We miss you and Ron, but Ron on his grind too on Tuesday night. So
yeah,
I spoke to him recently, and he told me to tell everybody what's up. But yeah, he's on his grind, you know, Tuesday nights now. So
Ron.
I told him, you know his sternness is missed.
my son is in basketball season, so he normally has games on Tuesday. He's on the West Coast, but today's game got canceled, so I will be hanging out with you guys.
Well, thank you. And how is he doing? Is he good?
He's doing all right. He, it is what it is.
Oh, okay. And on that note. Listen, I'll probably be saying the same thing next year. This little funk ass. Now I'm going to have to go to start making trips to Miami and shit. I don't be doing all that stuff, man. I wanted her to go to Temple. I wanted her to go to Temple. But, of course, she want to go where she want to go. And I, couldn't persuade her. No matter how much.
Young adult for you.
Did you take a trip down with her?
No, she ain't going yet. When she do go, I'm going to have to.
I'm
going to have to go. Yeah, because she said, you better be there. She already got me a T-shirt and everything.
Yeah, you go with
you Miami Dad.
Yeah, you definitely done. Just don't turn into a freaking Dolphins fan on me, please.
No, Dolphins. No,
a Dolphins fan.
No.
Just don't do that, because I will really shoot you in the pinky toe. I'm not playing with you.
Nah.
Like
Della. I still stand to my ground with that. F the NFL. I ain't changing my ways on that. Have them.
Okay.
But anyway, start the show.
Yeah.
So,
tonight's topic. And Ken's?
Yeah, man. We won't say all of white America, because it's not all of white America. We'll just separate it, just like they separate us when they want to be like, okay, the blacks or the African Americans, and then the N words. So we'll just use the other N word. The Neanderthals. So it's not the good pilgrims. We'll just call them Neanderthals. So, that portion of, America, Neanderthals, that, feel the need to call the police, like every black person, black woman, kid, whatever is just suspect. But what gets me even more is the law enforcement that come on the scene, and instead of logically looking at the situation, the first thing a lot of them seem to do, from what media says, and then some people say, how you going to always go with the media? How you know the media is not, trying to run the narrative? Well, the whole thing is the media has to get it from somewhere. So it has to be happening in order for the media to get it. So if you give them food, they won't serve it. So, the law enforcement community that actually entertains this BS instead of actually coming on the scene and, using some logic. Like, if you had to take the tragic situation of George Floyd. So you try to tell me that a store owner calls the cops on a black man, of course, and saying that his $20 bill was fake. Now, And then look how it escalated. Instead of coming on the scene and maybe asking a couple of questions or, just that and the third, somebody winds up dying. And it seemed like that there's been a few cases you know, of situations where someone calls the cops, and something happens. And they're just wondering why. We look at the situation of Ahmaud Arbery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was jogging through the neighborhood, saw some houses being built. He went, somebody said, oh, he looks suspicious because we've been having break-ins in the neighborhood. Two guys, your father and son duo, thought it was okay to pull out.
And they wasn't
even
goddamn cops. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know. And they felt the need to chase him down and confront him. And when he fought back, because, of course, you see two people with a gun, either some people are going to run or they're going to stand and fight. Well, he fought one of them off, and then he was shot by the other. And all of this was for what? So I don't know who wants to, you know, kind of lead off on this. But
well, I'll say something.
I just find it like really stupid. Like when are we going to get past, you know, the our bigotries and bias when
well,
it comes to certain shit?
I'll say this. I'm gonna say this, and I'm sorry, but I'm gonna say it as bluntly as I can, because just, you know, I am. Caucasian people are nosy as hell. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, not sorry. They are. They're nosy. Let me tell you something. I worked at 311, and like I said, they call for everything. And they call about bullshit. I'm sorry, they do. They call about bullshit. Call about things that don't have nothing to do with them. You're calling about because you hear a child crying in the next building. Then I'm asking you questions about, well, you know, what, you know, do you see anything? No, she lives here. She or, oh, I just hear the child crying in the next building. Okay. Oh, they sound like they're being abused. What do you mean they sound like they're being abused? Okay, if the child is crying, you don't know what the child is crying for. And like I said, not saying that doesn't happen, but it's like if you can't see anything, if you don't have an address or can't see anything, what are you calling for? Because you just hear a child crying? So now, you know, my thing is you could be putting somebody in a situation for no reason just because you think something is going on because you just don't know how to mind your business. Now, I'll go back to now what you were saying, Brother B, about with George Floyd and Amari. I'm sorry, what's his name?
Ahmaud Arbery.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't. It's hard to say his name. But think about Trayvon Martin. He went to the store and his father lives there, and this fool decides, oh, he looks suspicious and this, that, and the other. Once again, you're not a cop. So why are you even out there? And like I said, when they're telling him, don't approach, don't do this, don't do that, you're going to do it anyway. And that's another thing. They have this, like I said, this like entitlement, like, oh, well, I have to do something because, you know what, this person is in my neighborhood, so I have to do. No, you know what, mind your business until you see something. If you see something that's really going on or that person is actually doing something. But don't assume because of their race or whatever that, okay, something is, they're going to be, okay, they're about to rob somebody or they're going to somebody's house to do something or drugs or whatever. No.
So let me ask Ms. Cherry. If you can answer this, Ms. Cherry, what makes us so suspicious? What makes us so suspicious where they feel they need to call the police on us all the time?
You mean to them, right?
Yeah, to them, yeah.
Well,
I mean, ain't you yellow? I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to out you like that. I'm sorry.
First of all, she's not yellow. She's chocolate. She's no chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Anyway. I think a lot of times when they're watching TV and stuff, we're built on TV, the narrative that they follow. We're always up to something. We're never just, if we're having fun on TV, there's some other narrative going on in the background. So they're automatically suspicious. I work in corporate America, and to be quite honest with you, if I'm talking to more than one other black person, there's somebody that's going to step up in there. Hi, how you doing? And it's like, you turn around like, I'm sorry, we're in the middle of talking. They need to know. Any more than two black people together speaking, raises suspicion, and they need to become part of it because they are, I don't know if they're nervous or scared or they just feel like we can't have conversations without plotting. So that's what I see. They are, for the most part, they're suspicious. They don't know. A lot of times they may be trying to learn about you. You know, it might be a little bit of envy in there. I don't know.
All right, Lady
but
C.
But I tell you, in my job, we can, no more than two of us can talk without somebody coming through.
All right, we're going to go to Lady T and then Mika, because Mika has a quick, interesting story to tell us. Go ahead, Lady T.
I agree with everything Ms. Cherry and Reg just said, especially with the always being suspicious stuff. So as far as that with the cops and stuff like that, when they keep calling 311 or the cops on people and so forth when they see quote unquote suspicious activity, it's also things trending with the cameras. Like people think it's really cool now to do that as far as the Caucasians go. So I still don't understand what it's all about. I do feel like it is a little envy, and just like Ms. Cherry just said we're plotting because everything is based on stereotypes when they look at us. You know what I mean? So they base us on the stereotypes. So let's say we're doing good in our community or something is going on. We're having a little function and we're having fun. You notice you always get the police being called. You know what I mean? So it's like we're not supposed to just enjoy ourselves without shooting up the party. You know what I mean? So it's a lot based on stereotypes if you ask me.
True.
I was also going to say, like, I know at my job, we have, like, different ethnic groups within, like, the corporation. So, for instance, we have a Bean Group, which is a Black entrepreneurship. And even though, I mean, it has to be open to everybody, otherwise it's discrimination. But you could tell that certain ethnicities, we have the specific Asians, we have the gay lesbians, different, you know, miniature groups, and our group, we will always get one or two people that are not Black that show up at every meeting. And it's so that if we're having a dialogue, if we're talking, there's always someone there to monitor. You can never be kind of free to discuss with your coworkers what you're going through because there's always someone there, and they always want to supply an answer why you shouldn't feel that way. You know, I hate to hear, look at these people. Oh, you, I don't know why you feel that way. Listen, we're not really talking to you. We had to let you in, you know. So it is, I think it's a suspicion. It's more than two people together raises a suspicion, and they need to know what's going on, and they need to be a part of it. They need to have some input, almost like they need to guide you into feeling a certain way or thinking a certain way about them.
Now, Mika, you have a story that, you know, briefly tell me your story, please. You had a story about my nephew, which I really didn't like because that could have went real sour real quick.
All right. I literally had to go grab a drink from this.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
shut your mouth, you filthy animal. All right. So 2 weeks after George Floyd gets murdered, because that's what he did, he got murdered, this Karen in my neighborhood decides to call the cops on my son, talking about he's breaking into a car, and he's clearing it out. First of all, now, bear this in mind, the only way my son gets into my car is with keys, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also a beat-up 2004 RAV4.
Hello?
Three cars. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Three cars and six cops later, and I'm going to say it again, three cars, six cops later, they have my son, and they're questioning him. My son, you know, what are you doing here? Whose car is this? Bah, bah, bah. My son produces his ID, and he tells the cops, this is my mother's car. Oh, well, we got a report of a break-in, blah, blah, blah. My son says, okay, I'm going to call my mother. Be forewarned, my mother is going to curse you out. Now, again, bear in mind this is 2 weeks after George Floyd gets murdered. I get the call. Uh-huh. I'm thinking the car got hit because of the town we live in. These freaking idiots can't drive, let alone walk. He's like, so mom, the cops are here. Why are the cops here? Oh, because this lady sitting in the back called the cops and told them I was breaking into the car. How are you breaking into the car and you have the car keys?
Now, can I pause?
Right, exactly.
Let me pause you right there. See, this is what I mean by the law enforcement that come and entertain it. Like, if he has the keys and he's showing
you
ID and he has the keys, like, what? No one's breaking into anything. So why
wait,
are you entertaining
but,
it?
But okay. Wait, now we're going to really make everybody laugh. Okay? So the BS is, and mind you, my son told them where all, you know, where the insurance is, where the registration is. They've seen my name on it. Cop proceeds to turn around and say, well, because you people have different names. Wait, we have different last names? So this is your next excuse? So I've blacked out already.
Are you kidding me?
Does it sound like I'm going ha-ha? When I tell you I blacked all the way out and I gave him my government, but when I tell you not only did I give him my government, I spelt my government and I was still yelling at him. He literally came out his face and said, ma'am, I am so sorry to have bothered you at work. But when we get calls like this, we have to verify. I said, how the fuck are you calling me at work talking about my son done broke into my car? He has keys. And who the fuck is stealing the 2004 RAV in broad daylight? What, it's a 2004 RAV? Are you fucking kidding? Like, I blacked out.
Well, they think we're crafty like that. They think we're crafty
well,
like that.
The cop proceeds to give my son back the phone. My son is cracking up. He thinks this is the funniest thing ever. I'm literally like in the lobby getting into the elevator and I'm like, I'm on my way. My son is like, mom, please don't. We can't afford the bail money. Cause he already, my son knows I'm psychotic. I don't fuck with my kid. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
My son, and you think I'm joking. His father, I proceed to call his father. His father took like an hour out of his day to calm me down to talk me off the ledge. Cause his father knew what I was going to do. So during the midst of the conversation with his father, he says, you know you can file charges against her. That's right. So I get back to the crappy town, Bayonne that I live in, and I proceed to call the precinct. Now the old Karen cracker.
Stop it.
Polly want a cracker.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so Polly want a cracker gets on the phone, and I'm telling her what happened. And I want to press charges. This hoe got the nerve. Listen, you wanted me to tell the story? I'm going to tell it. She got the nerve to sit there and say, and I quote, well, you should be happy your neighbors are looking out for you. First of all, who asked her to look out for anything? As long as we've been in this neighborhood, ain't nobody done nothing before. Ain't nobody asked her. Well, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. Don't. Send the cops over. That's what you need to do. Give her the address. She gives the cop the wrong address. What she didn't know was that I was already outside having one of my other vehicles jump-started by my neighbor. I see the cop across the street. I flag him over. And he's like, well, she told me 65. I was like, no, it's 63. He was like, okay. So I proceed to tell him what happened. So the cop, now mind you, this is a white cop, short guy. He says, so wait a second. Let me understand this. Your son had keys to your car. He was cleaning out your car. And this lady went and called, said, yeah. So he says, well, I really can't file a report against her per se. But what I can do is make a record of this. Here's the number for it, the file number for it. If it happens again, she does it again, call, and we can actually arrest her for harassment and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fine. Now, while all of this is going on in the back of my mind, my first thought is, it's funny how you can't take the report that I'm filing, but if Roe were reverse, you already know where I'm going. If Roe were reverse, and if I was white, you'd have been taking the report, you'd have already broke down the door, it'd have been a whole different ballgame. But it was all right. I was like, all right, whatever, I got the number here. The very next day, which was a Saturday, mind you, I didn't move my car from that Friday. I go out that very next Saturday. Guess who's sitting in the backyard smoking a cigarette? The same old Polly McCracken. I proceed to start my car, pop open the tailgate, and sit there, and I smoke. I sat there for 10 minutes. I was hoping she called the cops again. No, she smoked a cigarette and went inside. Now, everybody, now, Brother B, you know, everybody who knows my son knows this kid is, he don't even look his age. I took him to get his hair done. They thought he was a minor. The owner of the salon was like, no, he's an adult. He's a legal adult. His mom ain't paying for his hair. He can do it himself. But he is not, my son is not intimidating at all. My youngest son is more intimidating than my older son. I kid you not. I kid you not. That's I got to look out for.
But see, that's the problem that I have and a lot of other parents, it's just people of color have in general, is that why are you picking? Like, why are you picking on people like that? Like why are you picking on
people?
Because
they
know.
They just told you nosy asses.
Yeah, but see, you know, my thing is, it's not even that. It's the police. Because, see, the whole thing is this. If he had keys and then you wanted to just run it to make sure, I get it. But it didn't have to go into the whole thing of, like, you know, calling your mother. Because, of course,
later.
Yeah, because if the vehicle, they could have looked to see if the vehicle was reported stolen or anything like that. And if you had the key, there's no one breaking into anything. So it could have been just like, oh, well, you know, we just wanted to let you know that we got a call, but everything is good, and they keep it moving. But they were looking for something. And see, this is the thing that our youth need to really be careful of, is that once it gets started, the cops come in there looking for something because they don't want to come there for no reason.
And
now it's not all cops.
For no reason.
It's not all cops. But you're going to have one of those. You're going to have one of those. I used to get my lunch snatched in school, so now I got a badge and I'm going to bully everybody else. Well, you're going to have at least one of those that are going to come on the scene, and then they're going to try and regulate and look for everything possible because they want to get an arrest or, you know, oh, let me take you down to precinct for questioning. Or they just want to intimidate. And it's like there's really no need for that because things like that, you know, it can all it takes is for one of us to get a little emotional or something go wrong, and the next thing you know, somebody's shot, somebody's dead, or somebody's beat up. Now, mind you, my nephew is about, 21 years old?
He's 20
years old, you know, slim kid.
He doesn't
look intimidating at all, but you know what? The fact is,
he has his father's temperament. Let's be real.
Thankfully. But the sad part about it is just the fact of color made him a threat.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
And it's not like they even bothered to, you know, take anything into an account. They didn't take any real factors into account.
They just got a call from a camera.
You know, and that's what makes them dangerous. That's right there is what makes them dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then some wonder why we have issue or we take issue with them. It's not all of them. It's not all law enforcement, and it's not all Kens, and it's not all Karens. But when you do something like that, I mean, how many of us have seen those stories where you got some Caucasian lady called the cops on a kid that was selling ices or something like that,
was
selling something to raise money for something.
It was lemonade.
You know, it was dog. Yeah, somebody was selling lemonade.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the purpose? Like, I don't understand the thrill that they get out of that. But see, that's what makes them extremely dangerous when they're willing to put a child's life in danger because they're selling lemonade or they're selling water. Like,
That's not a mental illness. That's just straight misery. That's misery,
you know,
and hatred within the soul.
No, it is.
Yeah, but what are you miserable about, though?
Because they ain't got nothing better to do with themselves. They're bored. They're miserable. They've probably been getting beat their whole life, and they want to take it out on somebody else.
That takes a lot of energy out of your day to be concerned about what the next person is doing, and you really still don't know what the next person is doing. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah, but misery loves company.
No,
misery loves company. And misery will expend all of that energy.
I've seen so many things about these Karens that have been doing this. It's just disgusting what they're doing. First of all, it's like, why is it that how am I a threat to you if I'm just walking in the neighborhood? What makes me a threat?
Because that's what you're doing.
It's that fear.
That fear of
it's
a black
fear.
Man.
It's what, right, it's that fear, exactly. It's that fear. It's what they, like I said, it's what's being portrayed. Like, okay, like me and Brother B talk about this all the time as well. Like, the fact that when in movies, why is it that every movie that, okay, we'll say like one of those black actors always winning a Grammy. I mean, not Grammy, I'm sorry. One of those awards. It's
Oscar,
always for something.
Yeah.
Right, Oscar, I'm sorry. For, you know, it's always for something being a drug dealer or a pimp or they, you know, a murderer or something. Why is it always like that? So then they look at things like that, even though they even see it on, you know, they're seeing it in real life on the news and stuff like that, but they look at things like that. It's like we're always, like black men, especially black men, are always being demonized.
Yes, they are.
All the time.
So I'm going to say it's not always about black, because I think it has a lot to do with their training. They're trained that if you question them, that you're actually questioning their authority. They have something just got released.
It.
There was a 72-year-old white woman, and she had dementia. She had went into like Walmart and picked up some stuff, and she got paid for it.
73-year-old lady.
Yeah. She's on her way out the store, and they harassing her, throw her to the ground, dislocate her shoulder. She's screaming in pain and stuff, and they go back to the precinct and laugh over the tape. That was
I saw that thing. It's disturbing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's their mentality.
What they did to
her. Yeah, it's their mentality. And you could hear her saying, "I'm going home." Apparently, if she's saying that 10 times in a row, something's wrong with her. Because a regular woman would have been like, "Listen, I'm going home. I don't have time for this." She was like, "I'm going home. I'm going home." They just throw her on the ground like they wrestling. She's 85 pounds. Dislocate her shoulder. Leave her in the cell for 6 hours without medical attention.
And joked about it.
Laughing about it.
Mm-hmm. I think she's senile.
I think all seven of them have now been fired or they're on something.
Real quick, Miss Sherry. So wait a minute. If they've been fired or suspended, why, because it was a white woman? Because if that was somebody,
yeah, it was
I mean,
a white
I didn't
woman.
Say it like that, but if,
yeah,
if
it was a white
somebody
woman.
Black, if it was somebody black, would they have taken that swift of an action?
I don't know.
I heard about a woman a few years ago who got a black woman who got tased in the worst kind of way. She called the police. I think I forgot which part in the South this happened in, but she called the cops for something and they came straight to her, and of all the trouble that they were giving her, the cop actually tased her more than once. She was like, she never felt that way before. She was tased more than once. Now, I haven't heard anything happen to those cops.
Of course not. But you already know why.
I was going to say, I think post Floyd, they're a lot more sensitive to things that are going on with black people. So now if that were to have been a black person, I think they would have, and the cops got suspended with pay, I believe, like desk duty or whatever have you while they run the investigation. Mm-hmm. Which is what they would do to us. You know, they would still get paid and get vacation and not have to actually go on the street and work. And that's what they're doing. But they tend to sue a lot more than we do. You know, the minute something happens, they're speaking to their attorney within minutes. With us, you know, we're trying to figure it out. We have false charges brought on to stop us or intimidate us from suing. But I think, you know, just to see that lady, like, thrown down, I think it was something like a candy bar and maybe some diapers, the pins or something. Come on now. And she returned it and offered to pay for it, and that wasn't enough. So if they're treating their own like that, I don't know why we think they would treat us better.
Well, you know, we're always going to be treated the worst, regardless of that.
Yes,
well,
we are.
I forget which president said this, and it was a true statement. If you can convince the poorest white man that he is better than the the middle class black man, he will always feel superior. I forget it was which president said it, but you know what the sad part is? It's the freaking
truth. He's telling
the truth. It is the truth. I got to look up which president said it. Ooh, child. And I was tight when I first read it, but I was like, how am I tight? He ain't wrong.
I was going to say, Trump.
You got no two people in Kentucky that don't even have a third grade education that think they better than all of us, and all of us have good jobs, and we have
it. Exactly.
And we are
about the backyard people in Mississippi.
Okay, we not only graduated high school, some of us actually graduated college and or trade school.
But in the grand scheme of things, that's the but. It doesn't mean anything. You're still just a black with an education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Regardless.
That's all they could see.
Like, all
which
they
makes
see
you
is
inferior.
Color.
Your PhD is equivalent to their high school diploma.
Because
which is,
you know what? It doesn't, the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter what position you may have, or how many degrees you may have. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, they will always look at you as just another... Well, you know what I'm going to say, but
Negro.
Exactly. You're just another Negro.
But you know, one of my issues is as a, it's not like it should only be for black men, but it's like it's one thing when you start doing black men like that. I mean, and that's been for years, but it's also been for years. But it seemed like it's more of an uptick. Maybe because we're seeing it more because of social media. Because it's been happening, but then the fact that you're going after black women and you're going after the children.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've been going after black women and children forever, too.
Oh, they've been targets, black women and children.
But that's, I know that, but my whole thing is, you know, now with the we're in the social media age, you know, everything
and modern technology.
Recorded, you know, so it's like, look, the Tamir Rice situation. You know, I mean, ridiculous.
Sandra Bland.
Like, yeah, I saw the video when he came down to Tamir Rice.
And he wasn't even a threat.
He didn't give the poor baby a chance.
But there's no real repercussions or consequences that happen with this. Like, somebody calls and said there's a kid in the park with pointing gun at people.
And the boy was playing with a fake gun. Oh, and you know that cop got rehired, right?
He got rehired.
Yeah.
There's really no accountability.
Look at what happened to Amadou Diallo.
Forty-one shots.
Well, they fired
41
shots.
Documentary on that. Oh my God, it's terrible. Terrible.
No, it is. It's terrible. And you know what? They got Mayor Giuliani to think about that, but I'm not going to go into it.
Well, Giuliani.
Peace officer.
Giuliani's about to get his drama. All that.
Pay back some mother for what he did. He actually said that those four police officers were doing their job.
Hyping up them cops back in the days and all. That's why a lot of them have that type of thinking too. Because goddamn Giuliani, right? These New York City cops.
Yeah,
he defended,
and Patrick Lynch defended those four police officers. And the Bronx jury, after what happened, they indicted those officers. But yet, Giuliani saw to it that there was a change in venue of the trial and brought the trial to Albany, and that's why those four cops got off the way they did.
Yep, exactly.
And they were able to get jobs. They were able to get jobs some other places.
Yeah, two of them became firefighters.
Exactly.
So how many black people died? I'm just curious.
Oh, I can't even count.
Even the fire department is screwed up. Y'all heard about that fire chief that went on that rant, right? Okay.
So
I would think they would be a little humble.
Find that article. Listen, y'all need to be checking y'all messengers because I've been sending y'all stuff. Y'all ain't gonna like half the stuff that I be sending.
A couple of years back. Go ahead, Miss Jerry.
No, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. And I'm just gonna say it. We can't expect them to value us more than we value ourselves. And the truth is, we are killing ourselves more than they ever have. You know,
but
sometimes
when
I'm like looking and I hear how we're shooting and stabbing each other off of, I think there were two women, grown behind women, 30 and 41 out here stabbing each other at a bar, probably off of a man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But to be that age and still be knife fighting in the street is ridiculous.
But you know what the bad part is?
Hold on. Miss Cherry, with Miss Cherry and Mika, this is nothing different from what they've been doing to each other for years.
Thank you. That's what
they've been killing each other for years because they were killing each other because of slavery and all this other stuff.
They kill each other over money.
Instead of fixing our own problems, we focus on what they do to their own to justify
what
we do.
Exactly. But you know what?
We
really not.
We're saying, well, look at what they do to their own. I don't really care what they're doing to their own. I'm only concerned with my own people.
Well, here's the thing. The media portrays it one way. The media portrays it as we're the only ones that do this. And I see where Brother B's going. The media portrays it as we're the only ones that do it.
Of course.
But we're not. And we honestly, let's be real for a minute. We really don't care what Karen and freaking Ken and all of them really be up to because we be too busy worried about our own. We do. Let's be
Listen,
we really are worried about our own lives.
When some people walk past my car door, I lock it. Shit, I'm scared.
Especially the teenagers. Because I don't need another Kyle Rittenhouse around me. I be loud, and I live in one of them towns where there's more of them than me. Listen, I don't go out after the sun go down over here.
I was going to say, when I hear about us doing black-on-black crime, sometimes I just want to go ahead and hand them the Klan's outfit and be like, well, you ain't got to worry about the Klan marching. Put on yours. You're helping them.
Black-on-black crime is something that they came up with to make it seem like that we're the actual savages. Because if you really think about it and look at the numbers.
Yes, they do.
Let
me ask you, Lady C, what do you think about that whole thing with black-on-black crime? Because I remember you had said something before on Absolute Truth Show about that some time ago. But what do you think about the whole black-on-black crime thing, the whole, you know, stereotypical narrative or whatever?
Oh, no, I was talking about hate crimes and Absolute Truth just on side of it being classified as Asian crime or Jewish crime or whatever. It's a hate crime at the end of the day. The same thing. They keep on saying black-on-black crime. They act like white people don't have crime against their own people, but it's not called white-on-white crime. You know what I mean? So it's stereotypical,
right.
too.
Yeah, it is stereotypical.
It is.
I mean,
very much. Very much.
They put that out there. They put it out there for that reason to make them feel better. They make it once again. Look at what they're doing to their own people. They always throw that out there. But what about black on black crime? You guys do this to your
In fact, there's a caller that usually calls the show. He usually calls the Absolute Truth Show. He's one of those Brother B already knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what about what black people do to their own kind? Don't they kill each other? I'm like,
is that Butch?
You know, the thing is, there's statistics out there. People do crimes within their, you know, vicinity sometimes. So if you're living in the projects or you're living in a certain area and it's predominantly black, I mean, what's going to happen? You're not going to leave your neighborhood to go all the way to the Upper East Side to pull some type of crime and then come back home. I mean, it's not to say that it doesn't happen, but a lot of times people commit crimes. They do stuff within the vicinity of where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And who's around them.
Their projects are considered the trailer parks. We don't hear about the crimes that go on in the trailer parks.
There's plenty of crimes going on over there, trust me.
The only time you see that
Let me tell you something. The only time you're going to see that, now I'll tell you this, the only time you see something like that is when they portray it in the movie, because I've seen movies where it's like, things like that happen in the trailer, but you're not going to, they're not going to report stuff like that unless you live out there. That's different,
I can tell you something.
Or on a reality show. Normalize it. They make it okay.
Watch the ID channel. When you see the ID channel and you see what those people are doing out there,
okay,
the
first
suburbs.
Of all, leave my network alone. Leave my network alone. Because between the ID channel
Mika,
and
you
Oxygen.
Know me for years. You know how I am. you know what it
me
is?
Me and Curry got that online.
Yeah, we got that online. I can tell you some things about what I've seen on the ID channel. Those people commit, and they talk about us, right? They quick to paint black people as villains, as with thugs, with this. You should see what goes on in the suburbs, in the Midwest, in the upper end.
Can Karen be really out there killing their mama, their daddy, second wife, and they be men, and the length that they go through? And if you notice, all of these crimes, I got to tell you, 98.9% of them are not melanated.
Nope.
The people that
they're mostly white. They are mostly white. And you know what else?
But you know what?
They do. Commit so much crimes out there. There's you have husbands who have their wives killed, or wives killing their husbands. Children killing their parents.
Or the wife is messing with the kid's best friend, who she convinces to kill her husband.
All of those crimes. But yet they quick to paint us as savages. See, this is why I say racism is not going anywhere. Ain't going nowhere.
But racism really doesn't have anything to do with us more than it does with them.
Because exactly.
America always had to have an enemy in order to get the sympathy and everyone else. All the other people around, they had to have an enemy.
Because when
they came here.
Let me ask you a question. Do you also think that it may be profitable for them?
Of course it's profitable. Absolutely. Crime pays in more ways than one. Whether it's your lawyer, whether it's the judge getting paid, or whether, you know, it's the police. Like, if there was no such thing as stuff like that, then cops and judges and lawyers wouldn't have jobs. So the system has to be built off of someone. Like, somebody has to feed the beast. You know what I'm saying? And of course, they're not going to do it with them. They're going to do it with us, because it keeps playing into the narrative. So the whole world can see that, see, these Negro, these colored people are a problem. Don't let them into your country. Or be careful when they come here, because, you know, they do this. Like, they sow that stereotypical image, and, you know, next thing you know, everybody's going for it. Like, they'll come, people vacation, come to New York and be like, oh, yeah, you got to watch those Savage Blacks. Because we only have black people where we live at. So, you know.
And mind you.
They don't know how to, you better watch it. They don't know how to act. They're dangerous.
Yeah. But.
And mind you, we ain't paying nobody no attention. We trying to get to where we got to go.
But.
Let's be real. A majority of us don't care.
But, you know, some of us do play into the narrative. Some of us do play into the narrow. Some of us,
the
ignorant ones are the ones that they make money on, and the ones that they build the narrative off of, because they'll always go to the ignorant ones. They're not like, you ever see a newscast out there? They don't really go to the smart people or the people who speak.
They
always speak to five people.
Proper English.
Yeah, they,
oh,
yeah.
It's been going on for years. The woman with the rollers in the hair, or the toothless crackhead that stands there and says they don't see the whole thing. You see that all the time on the news. You see that on the news. Mika, you know what I'm talking about.
I know who you talk about. Between her and the other dude that had the bad blowout with the head wrap on his head.
Oh, my
goodness gracious.
They picked the
most
ignorant.
But you know what?
They say, oh, this is how they are.
Because
they
fit that narrative.
I've seen the whole damn thing, man. Yo, guess what? Yo, I be calling the cops, right? Yo, I saw the whole thing happen. I'd be calling the cops, and the cops don't
be
showing
up. Okay, first of all, you don't even sound like doing that, J-Dawg. Can I tell you that? I know you're trying to imitate them, but please, you don't even sound like. You sound like my son,
you know,
trying to speak and talk street. It don't work. It don't work.
Now, you know, one of the other problems is it's not like these Kens and Karens are ever really going to stop. I mean, what was the situation with the young lady who claimed that the boy took her cell phone? And what's sad was even the manager of the hotel, like, sided with her. And, you know, came at the little boy. And mind you, she wasn't even staying at the hotel at that time.
She hadn't checked out the day before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you left your cell phone a day ago, and now all of a sudden you come back and automatically point to someone and say that that's your phone?
So I saw her story. She was on Dr. Phil. And the narrative
Hold on. I want to stop you right there real quick, Miss Cherry. What did you say? Mm-hmm. She was on what?
Dr. Phil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You see that?
She was on Dr. Phil. Her parents, her father in particular, was talking about she has a mental illness.
That's the first thing.
She's been under a lot of care for a long time. They've been trying to... they had her. I felt so sorry for her after listening to that. That poor traumatized girl. She didn't mean to grab that boy. She had a problem.
She said that she's a super strong person.
How long did you hold in that laugh?
She was the nastiest person I think I've seen in a long time. The way she spoke to Gail and everybody else. She's definitely entitled. I don't know what her parents did to her, but she's entitled. She's not even – she was running herself as being white. She is not white.
But that goes to another thing. Because a lot of them really think or they portray themselves as Caucasian. But let me tell you something. When you had people like the clown in chief for the past 4 years, he's ready to send you back to a country you ain't never been to a day in your life.
Exactly. You're out for a rude awakening. Because
you want to claim that you what?
Hold on.
You better learn your history.
I need Lady T and then Big Red after this, because I got a question for both y'all. So what do you think about the fact that what Ms. Cherry said, because I just find it humorous, but it doesn't surprise me, but it is humorous, that she said she was on Dr. Phil. What do you think,
lady?
This chick degraded this little boy, degraded this little boy in front of his father and everyone else, and she gets a spot on Dr. Phil. What do you think about that?
Oh, my goodness. I'll say, like I said, it's like she wants to make a name for herself. Plus, like I said, it's profitable. Like, she's going to get, like, okay, with that being said, she's going to get, I guess, the help that she needs. Then somebody's going to endorse her or pay for her or whatever.
She didn't need no help. She didn't need no help.
No, I know that.
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
No, I'm just saying that's what it's going to be about. Somebody's going to endorse her, and then next thing you know, they probably going to have us on some damn commercial about them pills. I'll take these now because, you know. But, you know,
what do you think about that, lady? I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish, Red.
The fact that, you know, like I said, she's not even, as Ms. Cherry said, she's not white. You said she was Spanish, right, Ms. Cherry?
Yeah, it's like, really,
are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me with that? But, you know, once again, you know, it's always an excuse. Once again, the young man should be on Dr. Phil, not her.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, Ms. Milady T, what you think about that? Hello? Lady T?
Hello?
Can you hear us now?
Yeah. So, all right. So, I will say this. You ever notice how there's always these documentaries about these serial killers that are usually Caucasian? or these people who turn around and kill their parents, where they're usually Caucasian. They make documentaries and they sensationalize it. They make it this great story. And you know, the police may say one thing during it, but they make this documentary and it just make it seem like, oh, well, you know, they, you know, something was wrong with them. There's always the, oh, there's the mental illness. There's always some type of excuse.
Always mental illness.
Yeah, yeah. It's always some excuse for them. But when it's a black person, oh, this is no good. Or, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they demonize.
Look at their background. Right? They come from a broken background.
Right. It's broken background, drug use, this, that, and third. Even Trayvon Martin, they took that kid. Oh, he smoked weed.
Crucified him in front of the whole court.
And I'm like, are you serious? Like, we're not heavy on the opioid thing, but they're paying attention to that because, you know, it's them, not us.
We already had to talk about the whole crack epidemic, how they ain't give a crap, how Ronnie, I can't ask Reagan to save my life, and freaking that cranky old woman that he married. We're going to have this war on drugs and blah. Just say no.
Because
the fool that's sitting in the White House right now was part of that whole thing, too. Don't trip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It seems like it's a never-ending cycle.
It is.
It's a never-ending cycle. It's not the hypocrisy. Because everything may quiet down for a little bit, for a month or two, and the next thing you know, you see it, you hear at least three or four police shootings of unarmed black people in a span of like 2 weeks. And then it gets, you know, everybody gets angry and riled up, and then it gets quiet again. You know, or you hear about some white person, just like the white person, the white girl, if the black man didn't videotape it, he probably would have went to jail. The one in the park with the dog.
That's
right. He actually said, I'm going to call the police, and I'm going to tell them that you're doing this and you're doing that. And I'm like, wow.
No, she said, I'm going to tell them that a black man, anybody. She said, I'm going to tell them that a black man is harming me and harassing me and threatening me.
If they would have came quicker, and they would have came ready for action.
Yep, exactly.
And if we all seen dude, too. Dude wasn't hurting a flower. But again, the perception, especially in New York, let's be real, especially in New York, we all know this. Brothers fit the description all the time, every time, it don't matter.
Well, I think I brought this up before some time ago, so I don't know if they still have it up. But there was this blog called NYPD Rant that I actually went on, and it was some years ago. And it was the most vile, disgusting blog page that I've ever in my life. And mind you, these are people that are supposed to be professionals. These are people that have supposed to take an oath to serve and protect. These are people that are not supposed to have that type of bigot or bias because, you know, they're there to do a job, and that's to serve and protect the communities that they work in.
Right.
Well,
yeah, but
so I had read some of the most disgusting. That's where I started to look at certain people differently, especially NYPD. And it's not to say all of them are like that, because they're not. But it's always the bad apples that ruin it for the whole bunch. But to read some of the things that were allowed, now, and this is just like to actually go to NYPD and see some of this stuff, like it was just open, I was just like, wow. Like, could we get away with that? Like, could black people rant? Or, you know, because, I mean, you can damn near say certain things. You can't say certain things on Facebook, and they'll shut you down.
Yes,
yeah,
they
absolutely
do.
But yet
and
they're allowed. Yes,
yeah,
they're allowed.
But they're not the only ones.
To make,
they're not the only ones.
I'm sure they're not the only ones. But it's sad that
they're allowed to do this.
That they are allowed to do it, and it's sad that it even happens.
The mindset, but you know what? But they're not the only ones. The military. And you know what the sad part is? Melanated people have been saying this for years, that the Klan has invaded the, well, I can't say invaded the police force, because as we all know, the police force is actually the bastard offchild of slave catchers, but that's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
We know about them being in the military forever. We know about them being in the fire department forever. And when we've spoken up about this, we have been told we are full of shit. You're imagining it. It's not real, blah, blah, blah. Funny how all of that is now being made public because of the mediums that we have available in order to actually show the world it's not us. We don't have a chip on our shoulders. This is what it is. Now, the sad part is they don't want to face it. They don't want to admit it. Right now, there's a big thing about critical race theory being taught in schools. I don't know how much you guys know about the CRT.
Mm-hmm.
The CRT is basic. I know a couple of us in here. The CRT is basically making white people deal with the fact that, A, the country has been built on racism. B, chances are your ancestors were part of the problem. And C, you now have the opportunity to fix it. What are you willing to do to fix it? Ken and Karens are in their feelings. They're sitting there talking about how their children shouldn't be forced to be made to feel a certain way because of the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. So hold up, Ken and Karen. You mad because now your children are actually being taught to see how bad racism actually is. And they are actually being given the opportunity to sit there and say, whoa, wait a second. That's not right. They're not being made to feel bad about the color of their skin. As a matter of fact, they're being educated on the fact that they've had privilege all this time, as opposed to children who aren't their color. And now they have the opportunity to face it, learn from it, and grow and say, okay, this is wrong. I can't sit here and judge you based on the color of your skin. I have to sit here and really base you on the content of your character. I don't care what my parents have said. I don't care what my grandparents have said. I have the opportunity now to fix what was broken, or at least try to fix what was broken. I have the opportunity now to fix this.
But
no,
you know, somewhere along
Karen,
the line, they're going to stop it. They're going to want
to
stop
it. What do you mean going to? It's already happening. These towns in Texas and Missouri, the parents are up in arms. Oh, my principals. Midtown, that's right, even in New York. Oh, my
principals. Because
and the funny part is it's an Asian lady that got a lot of nerve to sit there with that one.
Let me tell you, the Karens, you know, the history of Karens, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mika, but the history, if you look at history, there's always been these Karens because, check it out, go as far back as to, like, when you look at history, when you go back to, like, the early 1900s, when during the times of the lynchings that were going on, how many times did we have to hear about these Karens crying rape? And next thing you know, you see a black body hanging from
Black
the street.
Wall Street. Oh,
yep.
I'm
black
sorry,
Wall
am I
Street.
Not a term. Rosewood.
Yep.
What now?
Rosewood. There was plenty. Chicago, St. Louis in 1917.
That's right.
All
come
those,
on, tell it.
All
we're
of
based
them
based on lies.
All of them were based on lies, in which white mob went into those cities and
because of a lot
burned
of little
them
white
down
girls
and killed them. And killed a white military. Yeah, they would kill. They would grab somebody and kill them in a heartbeat.
I mean, for hell, they even took. What the hell was that damn show that was on freaking Showtime? Oh my, was it Showtime? Lovecraft. Did anybody see Lovecraft?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beginning of that.
No.
Okay, do we remember the beginning of that?
I would have to watch it again, but I don't remember, but I love that show.
The beginning of it, basically, with the premise of the freaking Oklahoma freaking race war, the premise of it. That was the beginning, rather, not the premise, but that was the beginning of it. The first freaking 15, 20 minutes of the show, you've seen that whole thing played out.
Right.
Like, are you freaking? It's the most disturbing thing.
That was the whole point.
See.
That was the whole point of the show. That's what I liked about it.
Exactly. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, and I'm so tired of these people sitting here saying, "Oh, well, you should let it go." This, that, and the third.
Let it go. Let it go.
You can't let something like this let go when
you can't
you are
let
still
go
perpetrating
of
it.
You
know?
Can't let it
for
go because you know the
exactly.
story still continues. How are you going to
exactly.
close the chapter on a story? How are you going to close
that
the chapter on
reading.
A story and you're still
you're
reading
still,
about it?
And Ken and Karens are the biggest readers, and they like to rewrite the story.
They do.
So always fit their narrative. But you,
they
you know,
sit there,
some
they're
point,
the authors of it.
Yeah, exactly. And at some point, they need to be held accountable. Karen, Ken's, the cops, all of these people. And it's not all of the non-melanated population that's like this. It's not. But the problem is that the ones that are the non-melanated people aren't speaking up against the other non-melanated people that perpetrate these freaking atrocities.
Well, you know what happened? You know what it
they're
is?
They're not speaking
you
up.
You have too much of the Tim Scotts and the Alan West and the Candace Owens out there.
Well, first of all, don't ever mention that freaking slut bag's name around me.
Whoa,
I can't
that one...
stand up.
No?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen to me. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I really don't care.
I don't
care.
Like
I'm sorry. And I'm going to tell you my reason. And Colton with you will.
Yes,
this
please.
This bird got $30,000 off of crying racism from a group of white boys in her high school. She got $30,000. But she going to turn around and talk about racism don't exist. She recently got called the N-word at a function. Cried about it, but sat there and said racism don't exist. Are you freaking kidding me? How much more shucking and jiving you going to do?
Listen, that's the same
she's
person.
Just as bad,
she's the
she's
same
just as
person
bad
who stood there
as foil,
and said.
And what was the other
and
one?
Said,
foil and...
She said about Breonna Taylor that, oh, how Breonna Taylor, when you hang out with the wrong people, that's what you get. She was the same person who sat there and said that George Floyd deserved what he got because he was a drug addict. I mean, really.
Really. And if anybody was paying attention to the coroner's report, which many of us were, even the coroner,
right.
The state coroner. Not the defense coroner, the state coroner said, even with the amount of, the trace amounts of drugs that they found in his system, it still couldn't have caused it. Mind you, this is the state that said this. The trace amount. But
It doesn't matter because, once again, no matter what, we're always going to be demonized to the world. We're always going to be looked at as the problem for someone to blame.
And
now,
that's the shame of it.
I would like to ask Ms. Cherry, going forward, when you see these certain situations, like, what do you think? Like, do you think there should be some type of formal instruction that we should, I guess, for our youth? You know, when they get in these type of, you know, because, you know, these things that have been happening and we're coming out saying, well, I got to teach my kids this, or now they're having a dialogue with their kids about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there needs to be some type of formal, like, I guess, a class where our youth need to know how to respond or be taught how to respond to these situations when police come up to them or when they're approached by one of these kins or Karens?
So you're talking about, when you say formal, do you mean through the school or you mean just sitting down talking to your kids?
Well, I'm just saying maybe a program that maybe we need to put together. Because I know a lot of times you talk about, you know, progression and going forward. Like, it's not like forget the problem. Let's talk about the solution. And I really think that we need to start, you know, grouping our kids together. And just like they want to have classes for the Caucasian people to tell them, hey, listen, you got to be a little more sensitive. You're privileged in X, Y, and Z. Like, maybe there needs to be some type of program as to where, you know, our youth and even some of the adults
need to be schooled on how to handle these situations without getting irate and, you know, all emotional, because all it's going to do is play into the trap that they're setting. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I think that me personally, my son is 21. We had this talk when he was probably about 12 or 13. So as far as waiting for a formalized group to get together to discuss what he needs to do, we as Black people, we have that discussion long before anybody else could ever think about it in their races. They don't even really address it. We have to tell our kids how to look, how to dress, how to walk, who to be with, where they can be. All these things factor into whether or not they come home safely. I think by the time they become teenagers, or definitely by the time they're adults, they probably would have had an encounter or two with the police. I don't know. I know personally my son has. And the things that I taught him, or the things that I always emphasized to him, I'm like, look, I don't care what's going on or what the police say or what they do. Your only focus is to make it home. Because anything that goes on, if they pull you over and they want to write you a ticket and give you an attitude, take the ticket. Don't say nothing to them. At least we can go back and we can fight it. But if you don't come home, what are we fighting for? So I do think that we need to somehow, and this needs to be taught way early, because our kids are targeted way early. Maybe the interaction that we have to get them in the mentality of understanding that when a police officer stops you, some of them will be friendly and some of them will not. They're just there. They're angry. They're bitter. They're looking for you. I had a situation myself. They're looking for you. They're looking to make you a poster child. You know, whatever the problems they have, they want to throw it on you. So your thing is to not respond, not to feed into it. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. Let them give you a ticket. Walk away. We'll deal with it
but
later.
Now, sir,
I can fight it.
But now,
is that like trying to say a de-escalation for ourselves?
Yeah, we have to. I think sometimes when I'm watching these videos, in all fairness, some of us are over the top in our response. Yeah, we can be
angry.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I go to my job every day, and these people make me angry, but I can't flip out like that if I still want to get paid. So it's not even a matter of someone coming and them offending you and you using that as an excuse to just go over the top extra. And I think a lot of us have been over the top extra. We don't understand. If you ever watch some of these videos that really end badly, it is definitely escalated. The police officer comes over. They're aggressive. You know, the person asks them a question, why you treat me like this? This is not. He says something. They say something back. It just gets out of control real quick. And what we have to focus on when we're teaching our kids is you need to come home. We need to teach our men. We need you to come home. We don't need you in jail talking about, oh, he did this, he did that. That doesn't help me pay my bills next month. That doesn't help your kids see their father next month. So you need to focus on the bigger picture, which is to get home, and then we can go and we can pursue whatever we need to do later on. So I do think it needs to be addressed, but as far as being taught, that needs to be done by the time they're like maybe 12, 13, whenever you feel comfortable that your child is out there by themselves and you can't be there with them. They need to have an idea of what could happen and be aware of it and how to de-escalate. Unfortunately, we have to de-escalate people that are trained and professional so that our kids and our men and our women can make it home safely.
Now, right. To Red, I got to ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Ms. Cherry came from the law enforcement aspect, but what about that video where the white guy who was in the military was screaming at the Black kid, you know, talking about why you in my neighborhood, this is that and the third. Like, how do we prepare our kids? Like, how do you think we should go about situations like that? Because law enforcement is one thing, but then when you got some regular citizens, you know, come running up on your
right.
kids talking about what are you doing in my neighborhood, or what is this, or what are you doing here? Like, what do you think about stuff like that?
I didn't see that. I haven't seen that video, so I don't really know. Like, you said the person is a civilian?
Well, no, he's in the military.
He's a young
sergeant. He wasn't in uniform.
He's a sergeant.
Yeah.
He was a,
but I'll let you know. He was a sergeant,
he was a sergeant in the military.
So he was a sergeant in the military. All right, so did he live on, like, did he know that? Not know that kid, but what made him, what prompted him to do that? Like I said, I didn't see the
video,
so what prompted him to do that?
What they're saying is
the kid, the black kid was there to see some white girl down the street. Something happened. She said that he was pulling her pants down. She ran into the middle of the street saying that he had put his hands on her, and she wound running to she wound up running to the sergeant's house, and I guess he's the neighborhood police. So at that point, he came out and confronted the black kid and was like, get out of here. You don't belong in this neighborhood, that type of stuff.
Ms. Sherry, listen. I'm not going against you, but that sounds like a bunch of BS. Because, I mean, maybe that's what they're trying to spin so they can take the heat off of him just coming at the black kid. But, like, in the beginning, I didn't even hear anything about that. Like, I don't know if that's
introduced that because after they, you know, he winded up getting, I don't know what they call, discharged or whatever.
Like demoted.
They had him and his wife all over, and the black people came out and they did a protest. So the mother of the daughter, that the white girl that said that he was pulled the pants down or whatever have you, she was like, you know, you don't know what happened. She called because they did a protest. She called the people that were going to protest, and she was like, I have video of this young man doing this to my daughter, and this is what happened. So they were like, okay, produce the film. At that point, she said she didn't have it. So, of course, we know, I feel,
Karen.
How could you lose something so important? You know, this is your whole thing is your daughter was being attacked. How are you going to lose it that quickly? But, you know, she said she didn't have it, so everyone's saying, like I think, if your daughter was molested or being attacked by a black man, and you had the video 2 hours ago,
in broad daylight,
the girl ran down, she ran down the street supposedly yelling that he was trying to rape her or hurt her or whatever have you, and she ran to this sergeant's
house. And only one person came out.
Can I got to interject here. That was the second report, because the initial report was that the young black dude had made sexual advances towards the sergeant's wife. That was the first report from this initially.
Well,
are you kidding me?
Well, from what I heard.
Hold on.
Yeah, it sounds like it's too many different stories.
To me, in all honesty,
I don't believe shit they say. Yeah, to me, it's all bullshit. They're just trying to find an excuse.
Exactly. Because the initial report was.
Exactly.
Because this was the initial report.
I don't believe
it
because instead of him telling that kid, get out of here, you don't belong here, if he felt that kid was trying to rape that girl, he would have called the police. I'm not trying to get you out of my neighborhood. I'm trying to get you arrested. You walking around the block raping people, and instead he's like, you don't belong here, get out of here, you don't live here. Why are you willing to let him
there? But the kid lived there. He proved
that he lived in that neighborhood. He actually lived a block and change over from where that sergeant lived, like up the block and around the corner.
Yeah, but I thought it was like a gated community. He didn't live in that particular part of it. I know that they said he was involved with that white girl that lived there. Now, I don't know
that
if he went
problem.
Over there and they got caught
that's
and then
the
she tried to say,
but you,
why
but you
do
understand
you do
this? Yeah. But this is the thing.
He's not too,
you know, the initial report was he had made advances towards the sergeant's wife, sexual advances. That was the initial report. The secondary report is that he had sexually assaulted a young lady in the neighborhood, a young white girl, in the neighborhood that he was dating.
Mm-hmm.
So right there you have a problem with the stories. Then you hear that the kid didn't live in the neighborhood. The kid lives up the block and around the corner in the same gated community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all right.
I put it to you like this.
Brother B, understand this. Yo, Brother B, he lived. The sergeant lived on 40 side of 12th Street. Dude lived on the 40 side of 10th Street.
Yeah.
Up the block and around the corner. See, Brother B know what I'm talking about.
but the problem, but see, you know what my issue? See, my issue is no matter what, they have to demonize the black kid.
Of course.
Exactly.
And he lives there.
He does. He was even pointing to where he lives.
These are adults, media, whoever. These are adults that are going that hard on a kid. Now, I don't know if the white girl was scared that her parents would find out that she was dating a black kid. So,
here
you know,
go,
she lied.
That's what I said.
Emmett
Till did all over again.
Yeah, or, you know, that wannabe asshole military
person.
Oh, well,
personnel, you know, he was a freaking racist from the South.
You know, just,
oh, yeah,
just felt the need to just pick on a black kid and tell him to get out of my neighborhood. Because I do agree with Miss Cherry. If you're there doing some type of sexual, you know, some sexual wrongdoing, like, forget yelling at you. Like, you're going to jail. Like, I'm going to detain you for
right,
the car,
exactly.
And you're going to jail.
Yeah.
But I don't see how a white girl running through the neighborhood and she just runs to that house like only one person came outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
She ran past about 7 different houses to his house. And I said, because they already know who he is in the neighborhood. They know that if there's a problem, her situation, I personally feel the boy was involved with her. And maybe she got scared. Her mother came in.
Yep.
She tried to front like she didn't know him. And then she ran in the street. She's screaming. She runs to the racist at the end of the block because she knows how he is. And then this guy comes out, and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's, you know, pretty much pushing on this kid and trying to intimidate him. Get out of here. Why are you telling him get out of here? If he raped her, I would not be saying get out of here. I would be calling the police. I'm not going to let you go so you can come back next week and try it on somebody else in the neighborhood. So right you can tell, they try to clean it up after the fact. The mother lost the video of the boy supposedly sexually assaulting her daughter. Within 2 hours, she lost the video.
So wait, you're taking video? You're taking a video of someone sexually assaulting your daughter? See, this is this
no,
is,
I
this
didn't.
Is,
I
don't
like
make no sense.
It's probably camera
this is what makes,
like a ring or something.
But this is what makes
she
it dangerous.
She said she had a video.
This is what makes it dangerous. Whether you're a young melanated child,
exactly,
a girl or boy, or a melanated man or woman, like this, these people make this shit dangerous just to walk the streets minding your own business. Like somebody told me one time, I told somebody, like, oh, when I see certain types, I see people, like, when I see Caucasians and it's nighttime, I cross the street. Or I walk in the middle of the street. I don't walk next to them. I don't. Why you got to be scared? It's like, it's not being scared. It's just that, yo, they make up shit and people believe it.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, this guy in my town. He looks really, really small, weak. If I had to guess, I would say he's Jewish. This man is like out on the streets in like bad areas all times of the day. And I was like, I almost feel like he puts himself in that predicament. I don't know if he has self-defense skills, or I feel like he's waiting for somebody to jump up on him so that he can release certain type of energy, because he just, it looks like a fish out of water. I would see him in some of the worst neighborhoods with a briefcase on and a suit, and it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. What are you doing here with a big briefcase and a suit walking down there? Why are you coming down this neighborhood?
And honestly?
Just, right,
like
exactly.
I don't mess with him. He probably like Bernard Gett.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, looking for trouble.
We're going to be the dumb people that roll up on him.
The hell we not.
The dumb people roll up on him. Oh, look at, he's weak and he has lots of money.
you want to laugh?
That's what I think about.
You want to laugh? I got one for you. Because let me tell you something, that little white man would walk through Queensbridge without a problem. Do you know why? Because the brothers ain't going to jail for him. Because they already know they're going to die before they get to jail.
Mm-hmm.
As sad as it is to say, it's the truth.
Yeah,
it's really the truth.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, K-Dog. So we're always the savages. We're the bad ones. We're this, we're that. You know, black people are
But we ain't
terrible.
The one that got lifetime shows
earth.
After us.
Exactly. But how many Caucasians have infiltrated Harlem, certain parts of Brooklyn? And no one is bothering them at all.
Exactly. It's going on through history because, you know, let's look at Harlem. I could say Harlem. You look at Harlem back in the days. Who used to, you know, you look at the days of Prohibition. A lot of whites used to come up to Harlem, and nobody said anything to them. When they used to come to the Savoy Ballroom to come and dance with you had white women dance with black men. You had black women dance with white men. Nobody said anything. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
But pretty soon, the higher-ups felt it was a threat. Now let's fast forward. You go to the neighborhood right now, you go to a place like Bed-Stuy, you'll see more white faces than anything. You go to East New York, you're going to see white faces.
But not Brownsville. They have not seen Brownsville yet. When they paint Brownsville, it's a wrap for Brooklyn. It's over.
I think they started that already. Brother B, remember, they started that already. They already started. They started.
Mm-hmm. They got to spell.
You know why I say that? Because Brownsville.
And in Bed-Stuy, they started already.
Why do you think they're doing so much? Think about it, over there, they have a lot of. I think it's more like what's those houses? Oh, I know they have a lot of NYCHA, like right in the same area, like different. I guess different names to them, but whatever. And like
yes,
I said,
they're
fixing. Once they start fixing up, when you start seeing them fixing up the playgrounds and all that other stuff, and then they're moving like a lot of those little, I'll say mom and pop stores out those neighborhoods. Yeah, I've seen it. I've been around there and seen it. They coming in. They already started. Yeah, they already started.
Trust me, it's already starting already.
The curiosity with their kids. My son, I remember maybe about 2 summers ago, they started throwing these house parties, right? Parents would be going away. As soon as they leave, the kids put it on social media, we're having this party. And I remember my son was like, one time he asked me, could I drop him off? And there's certain areas in Long Island that are predominantly all black towns. You know, we know them, Bellport, CI, Brentwood, Spanish, Wine Dance, Hempstead, you know, there's a handful that we predominantly live in. So anyway, he asked me to drop him off at this party. I go to drop him off. There must be like 100 people pouring out the house, all in the street, whatever. The thing that threw me was the amount of white kids that were pulling up in cars. They were coming. Now, they were
no
kids.
Surprise.
They were coming like 5 and 6 in the car, but they were coming into these black areas to party. They were coming into these illegal house parties. And so I think there's a curiosity where the younger generation does want to learn. They do want to blend. It's probably people that are our age or older that's
continuing to perpetuate
the racism, huh?
You remember when they used to have those pictures of white people hanging black people, and they like took pictures of the black people hanging and you saw kids, you know, in the background. Mm-hmm. Those are kids. Mm-hmm. Like those kids are somebody's parents.
No, those are us
today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're still.
That's our generation now.
Yeah. See,
those
are the ones that are still holding on to that racism. They're holding on to that thing that they grew up like believe that
young
black people
are
dirty.
Young whites are reporting their parents. You do know that, right? They're already reporting their parents for being racist. They're calling out their own parents on racism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want to be bothered with that. Like,
you know, the insurrection was enough. Listen, the insurrection on Jan 6 proved that one. She called out her mama, her uncle, and her aunt, I think it was.
Yep, called them all out.
Mm-hmm. I know she called out her mama and her uncle, and she called out
one of the adult members
from family. And you know what? She got them back because the mama was freaking busting her chops and kicked out the house because she was a lesbian. First of all, that's your job. Now, I don't get into all of this extra trans testicle and pansexual and I don't get into all of that. That I don't get into. But if you're gay, you're gay. If you're lesbian, you're lesbian. If you bi, you bi yourself sometimes, and then sometimes you're not bi yourself.
There you go.
My whole thing is, as a parent, You've got to stick by your child. Whatever their sexual preferences, that's one thing. As long as that child is not out there getting into trouble, doing no drugs, wilding out, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But the mother sat there and kicked the girl out the house. She called the girl all types of names and did all types of stuff. So the girl wanted to go to a Black Lives Matter rally. The mother started with the end this and blah, blah, blah. That's why the daughter turned around and turned the mother in, because she got tired of the mother and the BS.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
wait a minute.
Why.
So,
and that's what happened.
Well, on that note, because we are, like, now
we
out of
time.
We
over time, ain't we?
Yeah, we out of time. So listen.
Check y'all messages,
been,
please.
This has been a good one. And thank you, K-Dog. Thank you, Mika. Thank
you,
Sherry. Thank you, Lady T. Thank you, Big Reds. Everyone have a blessed night. And to the Kins, Karens, and the cops, get over yourself.
Get over your damn self.
Get
and be
yourself.
Safe, everybody.
Yeah. Everybody,
y'all,
get out there.
Peace.
All right.
Love you,
peace.
Y'all.
Later. Later.
All right. Later, guys.
Later, y'all.